How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. East, and Sunday, 6 p.m. East. And guess what? I'm here. It's a Sunday. It's my first show here. Never done this before. I've never done radio before. I've never done podcasts. No, I'm joking. I've done this for about 10 years. But listen, this is an awesome, awesome thing. It's my first night as the host of Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour discussing all things professional wrestling. And man, what a week it was for professional wrestling. Actually, to be honest with you, for my first show, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. In studio, I got two very special guests I'm going to get to in about a minute here. But holy moly, WWE releases, staff releases, WWE roster cuts, AEW Rampage, that promo between CM Punk and Eddie Kingston, unbelievable, and tons of stuff to talk about. Guys, we're going to be taking your questions also. If you're on social media, on Twitter, use the hashtag AskWOL. Also, you can call in 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. I want to introduce my co-hosts here. My first co-host of my first show. Who better? Who better than Rich Stamboli, my co-host on Mat Men? Rich, what's going on, man?
Thank you for the introduction. I appreciate it. You also gave me chills with your own introduction. And I got to say, congratulations again for landing this
much.
Spot, man.
Thank you very, very cool. Much. Very cool. Very, stuff. Very excited about this. We're going to go to break in a few minutes, but I want to introduce the guy on the couch, someone that the Wrestling Observer universe knows very well, Garrett Gonzalez here, co-host on Wrestling Observer Radio on Saturdays with Dave Meltzer and a whole slew of other things, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
We both, you know, listen to this show back in the day, and now we get to do it. It's awesome.
This is to be honest, this is really cool. We have a ton of stuff to talk about here, which I'm very excited about, obviously. But before we go into it, we're going to take a quick little break here. We're going to come back, and we got all of this week's pro wrestling news to talk about. Very, very excited to go into this. I want to start off with the recent releases. We'll be back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Andrew Zarian here. My first Sunday here with me as, I was going to say with me as always, but this is the first time you're with me on the show. It's Rich Stambolian from the Mat Men Podcast. And of course, Garrett Gonzalez, no introduction needed, from Wrestling Observer Radio. Man, I guess we'll start off with some bad news, right? I guess we'll do it that way. If you've been following Pro Wrestling, I don't know why you wouldn't be in the know of this. Late releases last week, right after the earnings call. We were hearing some rumblings. I saw that there was a post from WrestleVotes on Twitter that said that there were releases coming. I had heard that there were releases coming. I was told some of the names of these releases, and I got to tell you, I did not believe them when I first was told the releases. This was a big, big cut. Some of the names, obviously, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Lindsay Dorado, Grand Metalik, Harry Smith. We didn't even see Harry Smith do anything other than one dark match or whatever he did. Mia Yim, Eva Marie, Nia Jax. I mean, the list goes on and on. Some of these names, you could kind of look at it and say, you know, they're budget cuts. And I'm using hand quotes for people listening on the radio. Budget cuts. But some of the other names, really baffled by. One name that stood out. Without going into, you know, in-ring performance or promo or anything, was B-Fab. She just signed a contract to go to the main roster. Rich, was there any name that stood out for you that you're like, wait a minute?
There are a few names that stood out for me as a wait a minute. Nia Jax, number one. Eva Marie, number two. And listen, say what you want about Eva Marie, but they gave her such fanfare on her return that it boggles the mind. Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, B-Fab, like you said, Frankie Monet, another one. Scarlett Bordeaux, another one.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll go into this. Garrett, who shocked you from this?
I think the way that I look at it is, who are they hand-delivering to the competition as a finished act? We saw Malakai Black, and he came in as a finished product. Adam Cole came in as a finished product. It's almost like, let's just hand you stars. Out of that list, the one that I kind of keep going back and forth on is Ember Moon, because
shocked.
I think she could walk into AEW and immediately be pushed as one of their top women wrestlers.
I mean, here's the thing, right? You kind of touched on exactly where I want to go with this. I mean, whenever there's a big release like this, and by the way, this is not the final one, maybe the final one for the year. So I'll kind of play and give people a little play by play on that day and what was said to me. I got a call at about 10 o'clock at night from somebody, and they go, "Hey, did you see this New York Post article?" The New York Post put an article out, obviously covering the releases, because this is a big story, especially pro wrestling has gotten more mainstream coverage over the last couple of years. WWE PR has done a tremendous job at getting, you know, Variety Magazine and Sports Illustrated and New York Post and other publications to cover this. They go, "Hey, did you see the Post article?" I said, "Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, Keith Lee, whatever." He goes, "Here's the deal, though. Did you see the Nia Jax story?" And I'm scrolling down. I didn't see it before. And it said it was a COVID release. It was due to her vaccination status. And I said, "Huh, that's interesting." He goes, "Yeah, but that's not the only one." I go, "Who else?" And I don't want to name names, obviously. I kind of want to keep things private. Like, I don't feel that that's my responsibility to report on people's health status or anything. But from what it seems like, it's 4 to 6 other individuals. Now, 4 of them, from what I understood, were released because of their vaccination status. The other 2, unvaccinated possibly, maybe released because of that, maybe not. There were also some people requested their release. We know that. And others, budget cuts. Now, they just did their earnings call with tremendous revenue generated. This is looking to be a little bit more than, you know, unvaccination status, shuffling the deck, budget cuts. This is a restructuring of this company that we know. This is not the same company that we looked at pre-pandemic. We're looking at a very different company with a very different focus. And you can see that even with the corporate side, which I know Rich loves when we cover the corporate stuff on Mad Men. The corporate stuff is interesting because they've consolidated departments. So essentially the branding department and the marketing department have merged into one, and they're trimming the fat. You can't blame a company for doing that. This is something that most companies do regularly. They restructure. But this is like a General Electric level of layoffs and evaluations that they're doing. Garrett, I mean, listen, you have some corporate experience. You've been involved in startups. When you see something like this happen, where do you go with it? When you see corporate restructuring, talent restructuring, merging of departments, it's leading down a path.
I mean, I think, you know, we saw with the call, you know, those 2 numbers, the profit and the revenue numbers are, you know, what they're striving for. And that's what makes Wall Street jump, is they look at those 2 numbers. So the better that those 2 numbers look, because, and the other thing is, because so much of their money is consistent and guaranteed. If you're WWE, we're getting the same money every quarter. Now, how do we make that look a little bit better? How do we make that look like we're actually growing that number? Well, a restructuring is part of that. There's going to be other opportunities, you know, the Saudi Arabia money that comes in the different time periods. So I think that's really a lot of what is behind it, because you want Wall Street to make it seem like you're constantly improving every quarter. And look, they're doing a great job at making those numbers what they are. And, you know, you saw the Nick Khan stuff about how next time the next TV deals are going to be even better. So this, you know, they're setting up to be, you know, the dandy in this entertainment industry with being able to utilize content, you know, in ways that, you know, they can for profit. And it's pretty amazing job that they're doing with that.
Listen, and I personally have no indicators of a sale, but I've, you know, I have a corporate background. I got a marketing, I got a sales background. When I see departments being put together and I see a lot of your CFOs leaving, I mean, the fact that they hired a CFO a year ago, they had an interim CFO when George Barrios left and Michelle Wilson left. They had an interim CEO, a CFO. They found a replacement. Now they replaced the replacement with the temporary with the temporary CFO, which is now the full-fledged, you know, CFO of the company. This, you know, I'm not saying that I know anything about a sale, but if you were looking at any other company, if you told me if this was any other company except for WWE, I would tell you, oh yeah, definitely getting ready for a sale.
Very smart person told me one time, it is always for sale.
Everything is always for sale.
Always.
Everything is always for sale. Rich, do you think this is something, I mean, would you see this in their future to possibly sell the company? Not saying that they are, but is it Is this something we will see in our fandom of pro wrestling?
I have said this since day one of this show that, and again, this is just me talking, an imminent sale to Disney will be possible.
That's what you want.
That's what I'm thinking, because, like, who's got the bucks to buy everything, right?
Do we get to see The Undertaker in a bizarre crossover fight Wolverine?
And Bambi?
Fight Bambi,
with Bambi and Star Wars thrown in? Absolutely. I'd love that.
Yeah. Darth Maul. I want Darth Maul and you know, The Undertaker in a match. Why not? You know, you can figure it out. It's very interesting stuff to me. Very interesting stuff. Obviously, some of the other names were NXT names. We know, which I'll kind of go into NXT and what they're doing here. Very interesting moves by NXT the last couple of weeks. The ratings, not that bad. The viewership, I got to tell you, everybody's dumping on them. To be in the sixes for you know, virtually no real mega stars.
It's a rough watch, though.
You know, Halloween Havoc was not bad. I enjoyed it. Last week is a little rough, and I'm hoping that they kind of get that train moving again, because they're going to have to. It can't just become a nothing show.
What's this special? Is it TakeOver? Like, what's the next thing? Do you know anything about that show?
So I asked about TakeOver. I know the name is not going away. I was told that the name will not go away, but as far as what we know of TakeOver, I don't think it's going to be the same TakeOver. And even if they change the name to something else, do they even need to do it? You know, does it need to be a network special? No, you can do a TakeOver every couple of weeks, every couple of months on USA. They got the time. You know, you could push it like that, like they're doing the Halloween Havoc and everything else that they're going to be doing. I'm really hoping that they figure it out. But I'm going to talk a little bit more about NXT when we come back. And also, we're going to talk about Rampage after the break, because a lot happened on Rampage. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian here. A lot to talk about. We were talking about NXT. We were talking about the recent releases in WWE. I'm here joined by Rich Stamboli, my co-host on Mat Men Podcast. We broadcast every Thursday live early morning, East Coast, 10 a.m. East. Oh, look at that. We got a double box going if you're watching this. And of course, Garrett Gonzalez, my co-host on Tuesdays on We're Live, Pal. We do it with Denny Salcedo and a plethora of guests. And you're fantastic. I mean, first of all, I want to bring you in on this conversation, because you're absolutely fantastic on the show. I love how you control the show. I want to get your opinion on this. We just watched that Rampage promo for CM Punk, which I want to get into Rampage, and I kind of want to talk more about the issues with Rampage and the viewership numbers and what they could do to kind of fix that. But what did you think of that promo? Because I thought people would love it. A lot of people disliked it because it was quote unquote sloppy, but I think that added the element to it. What did you think?
First, thank you for the nice words. I mean, you guys are great, so it makes it a lot easier to host that show. But for the promo,
I had to tell you, I had to be nice, because Dave's in my ear right now, and he's been telling me, he's like, make sure Garrett knows he's really good. All right, Dave.
Dave doesn't watch that show, by the way.
Yeah.
The thing that I thought was very interesting is, rather than just go at it with two baby faces, they had CM Punk sort of pick a side a little bit, like it was a little heelish. And if he does lean into that a little bit, you know, over the next few months, then maybe that's a thing. But I just think that, you know, he looks at the situation and goes, there's no way that Eddie Kingston's being booed in any way, so I'll just play into that. But I thought bringing up the whole ROH stuff was really cool. It makes you, as a fan, you feel a little bit invested, especially if you watched some of that stuff. But I think ultimately, like, when it comes to, you know, I don't know what the casual fan base of AEW is, I think they would have been a little confused, because that's not the CM Punk character that they've seen. And all of a sudden, with this one promo, he sort of turned heel a little bit. Yeah.
In, like, the pastiche of watching wrestling, though, for me, I'm 40. Yeah, you guys,
you're 40?
I'm 40, man. Over my life of watching wrestling, that Kingston Punk thing felt like when I was in high school and I'd watch ECW, and I would go to my buddies and be like, yo, I know you guys love WWF, but this is real. And almost like the same feeling, where Kingston brought you into that early aughts Ring of Honor thing, you know? Punk fired back. It was done. it was done extremely well, and I feel like there was a delicate line that they did not cross. You know, the pull apart was great, and I'm glad they ended it where they did.
What about when he called him a bum, though?
Dude, bum is my favorite word in the English language. I watched that with my wife, and I was like, you heard what they just said? And he's like, yeah, he called him a bum. And I was like, that's my guy.
I thought it was really unique. It was different. I liked that it was sloppy. And, you know, I was talking to somebody in the business. By the way, big shout out to Homicide. Mm-hmm. Homicide's getting a lot of conversations around Homicide, which I absolutely love because the dude is fantastic. He's been around forever here in the Northeast. He works for a wrestling promotion that I'm very involved with, Catalyst Wrestling. He's one of our main players at Catalyst. We run out of Jersey. So really interesting to see, like, Homicide. You know, you're hearing Homicide. We saw Homicide at New York, at Arthur Ashe. So it's mm-hmm. interesting, but very different delivery and very different promo style, which is really, it was really cool to see. We had SmackDown also on Friday. Roman is fantastic. I mean, say what you want about the show. Say what you want about everything else going on in WWE, but the fact that he said, like, SmackDown was terrible, like Raw, you know, kind of a wink and a nod to its fans. I enjoyed that. The dude is fantastic, but you need to create the opponent for him. Who's that guy that you're going to put him in the ring with? You know, you're doing the New Day stuff right now, which is cool, but that's not the hot ticket here for Roman. Who's the hot ticket for Roman? Rich, who do you want to see?
Ooh, you know,
obviously outside of Brock, right? Outside of Brock, current roster.
I honestly do think, like, the first name that comes to mind is a ridiculous Roman and Drew McIntyre program, because you want those two, you want the bigs, you know, you want those two big guys. I don't know, man. You know, like, this is a very interesting time for WWE because they do their own version of pro wrestling, right? And they're the only ones that do it. So yeah. I'm almost at a loss to say, like, oh, who's going to be the guy to step up that's not The Rock, that's not Brock Lesnar, to challenge Roman, who meets him with that, like, that larger-than-life ferocity, you know? Like, is it Seth again? Is it anybody? Is it Kevin Owens? You know, is it Finn Balor?
Yeah, I mean, in general, you know, you have created a top level heel that will become a babyface.
Yes.
That will be cheered. Even when he's booed, he's still cheered. Mm-hmm. Right?
He was cheered in San Jose. Like, there were, I didn't get to go, but Dave told me that they didn't boo him at all in San Jose. It was just cheers.
I we went to the Garden show. We went to that on 9/10 at Madison Square Garden. And I got to tell you, when he came out, people were awed by him. And regardless of what you think of Roman, that is a very difficult thing to achieve to a very jaded audience. And we're all jaded at this point because we've seen it all. We saw the Austins, we saw the Rocks, we saw Flair. We've seen the best of the best.
Yeah.
And for this guy to get to that level, I think it says something about how they're writing for him and how they're presenting him. But it may run out soon.
He's got that crossover appeal, which was evident from all the live WWE shows we attended in the past year, where he puts butts in seats in a way of, you know, do you remember that entire row of young women that were in front of us?
Oh, going nuts.
They did not care about any other part of the show except when Roman came out. It was like they just won a game show, you know? And I think he has that effect, that crossover effect, and that's what WWE can capitalize on.
So
you know?
Are you telling me he should not mention his wife on television?
Because that was a great line.
Mystique of the possibility that he might be a single man.
Dude, it's 2021. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that anymore, man. People are dirty.
We also got this week, WWE announced their Survivor Series teams on Twitter yesterday. Survivor Series are going to be held in New York City and Brooklyn. Rich and I are possibly going.
I'd like to.
I you want to go? We could go.
I mean, you read?
Garrett, you want to go? I'll hold on. Dave's in my ear. He said he'll send the jet. We could go to it together.
Did you read the writer I sent you?
I didn't.
My demands?
Oh no, I didn't
brother,
get it.
You're in for
okay,
it.
So
you're
sorry.
In for it.
So here's some of the teams that we got on the Raw side. We got Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic. Is this when Dominic and Rey start feuding? That's what I want to see.
I'd like that.
All right, and then we got SmackDown is Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, Sami Zayn, and Happy Corbin. What a mishmash of people. Raw women's tag team, Raw women's Survivor Series team, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, Zelina Vega. SmackDown, we got Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, heel Shotzi, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got a heel Shotzi now, Natalya and Aaliyah, which is an interesting team. You know, I've said this about Survivor Series for years, that they kind of lost that luster a little bit. And then when they started doing those really cool combinations, like when you saw Hunter and Shinsuke Nakamura in a match, in a ring together, that was like, wow, okay, cool. When you see Keith Lee involved in this, you know, it was with Roman, right? Mm. That was last 2 years ago, 2019, right? Was that the moment?
2018, 2019?
Whatever
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
when
really,
they involved NXT, you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah. Really cool to see. You know, you're not really getting that now. You're not going to get that with this one, but you know, it's Survivor Series in Brooklyn. It is The Rock's 25th anniversary. I know that they're going to be celebrating that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something for that.
Is he going to at least cut a promo that they could record?
You know, initially months ago, I was told by somebody that would know this, very point blank, that he's going to be involved in something. Whether or not that's happening now, I don't know. We're also hearing the reports that it's going to be him and Roman in LA, most likely, and not in Dallas, Arlington, I should say. Sorry, guys. It's Arlington. Mm-hmm. I get yelled at all the time mm-hmm. for that. So I don't know. I'm curious to see where they go with this. But these teams right now, I mean, it's just a basic Survivor Series, right?
It's very uninspired.
Uninspired. Sure. How about you, Rich? How do you feel about
it? It's uninspired. I think that's what happens. Has been happening to the WWE pay-per-views in the last couple of years. We're like, 1 out of 10 is great, and the rest are just uninspired is the perfect word for it. As far as The Rock goes, can I paint a picture for it?
Give me one.
Roman closes out the show.
Yeah.
Right? He wins. You kind of hear some soft tribal drums.
Okay.
You hear something's coming, right?
Yeah.
Rock doesn't have to be there. Cuts to the monitor. Rock is basically looking like he did at the end of Hobbs and Shaw. like oiled up, lay on his neck, and basically cuts the promo of, if you think you're the tribal chief, I got news for you. And the crowd goes,
fantastic.
I'm happy.
I go, I'm happy.
Speaking of Hobbs and Shaw, did you see Vin Diesel on Instagram, not really begging Dwayne to come back to the franchise,
mm-hmm.
but just sort of saying, you know, little brother, you know, you got to come back. He called him little brother.
Oh, yeah. That's
he's trying to get Rock
brother.
Back for Fast and Furious
yeah.
10.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. I don't know. I'm very curious to see what they do with this, because SmackDown was okay. You know, I thought it was a weaker SmackDown, but we're getting ready to prep for this, and we got a couple more weeks, right?
Are we getting Roman and Big E?
I would imagine that would have to be it, and I'm kind of cool with that, right? Or maybe they do a 3-on-3.
I almost wondered that, but then I think, is it supposed to be in one of these matches? So you can't do the 3-on-3.
Yeah, I guess you can't.
But that I would have been for that. I thought that'd have been interesting.
I would hope so. Guys, we're going to come back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live. We have a lot more to talk about. We're back. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sunday. It's me, Andrew Zarian. I'm not Brian Alvarez. I'm Andrew Zarian. Brian's off today. Brian needs off on Sundays. That guy is the hardest working man in broadcasting when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's all over the place doing like 500 shows. Guys, if you want to enjoy this, if you're listening to this, you're very much aware of what you're listening to, but head on over to WrestlingObserver.com. You can subscribe, become a member. I've been a member since probably the 2000s. My uncle was a subscriber, or so he says. Maybe he had a friend that would get the newsletter and he would pass it over to him. I don't think my uncle paid for much. You know, he would somehow finagle his way and get the Observer and bring it over to my house, but this is pretty cool. We're here. We're going to be here every Sunday. For 2 hours. This week we're doing 1 hour, but we're going to be here for 2 hours. Next week, we'll be here for 2 hours, recapping everything that happened with Full Gear and everything else happening. AEW, let's dive into this. A lot happened on Dynamite. Dynamite was a rewritten show, as everybody knows. Jon Moxley is out for a little while.
Yeah.
Tony Khan made the announcement that he checked himself in to a rehab. I never feel comfortable talking about these things
for sure.
You know, and it's always difficult because you don't know what to say. You don't know what the state of mind is. I know that, you know, Jon Moxley not super well, but you guys are very friendly. You and Dave did a tremendous job with him. Had interviewed him for his book. I have his book. I just got it, actually. I got the John Moxley book.
The book's awesome.
I haven't read it yet. I know that you have the book. You've been reading it. Very excited to get into this. But, you know, I think there was a lot of criticism that got put out there as to should this have been public.
Mm-hmm.
The guy wanted it public. And I think he wanted it public for a reason.
He's a very transparent guy, right? Mm-hmm. He, in his previous wrestling life, he was working for a company that didn't want anything to be out that was real. His wife got scolded for mentioning that she tested positive for COVID-19. And that's just the way that he goes. He wants things to be out there, and he wants his version of the story out there. And yeah, I commend him for it. Like, you know, he's one of the reasons why he connects with that fan base is because they feel that he's being real with the, you know, with the people. So
it was on Tuesday, right? So
yes,
when we were recording on Tuesday, I was told that he's like right at the end of the show, I was told that he may not be on the pay-per-view. And I was like, oh, okay. And I thought maybe it's an injury, but when, you know, the word came as to what happened, you know, I thought it was very unique and different for Tony Khan to make it so public and CM Punk to come out there and address this to the audience, because you don't really see that curtain pulled back. I mean, you always see the wink and the nod and breaking the fourth wall and stuff like that. But this is a very real subject.
Yeah. There is a direct comparison to WWE, which is AJ Styles. Like, he's supposedly dealing with something as well. Not that he has to tell us that's
whatever
what
it
I'm
is,
saying.
Yeah.
But it just shows you the different thought process behind both companies when it comes
thought
to
thought process. Of, and also the individual, yeah. You know, and, you know, we're fans of John Moxley.
Absolutely.
We're fans
and
of the human
AJ
being.
Styles.
The human being, John Moxley, yeah. As well, the performer and the person. And, you know, there's nothing more when you hear something like this, you just want the best for that person.
100%.
And he's going to come back. He's going to kick butt and he's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
There's a change now with full gear and last minute change. Miro filled in for him. I think I teased it a little bit on Twitter when I posted
sure
that Miro
did.
Thing, and a lot of people they didn't understand what was happening.
Oh, the people that I talked to, they definitely knew, and they were like, oh, here we go, Scoop Zarian.
It happens sometimes.
That nickname?
Scoop Zarian? Yeah. That's his thing, yeah. I'm into it. I'm fine with that, Scoop Zarian. I've been called far worse.
That is true. I've seen you get called far worse.
Far worse, all the time. But we do have a full gear rundown here, obviously. AEW World Championship, you're going to have Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. Is this the moment for Hangman? We'll find out.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes? What do
you
think?
Or, you know, he's going to kick out of the one-winged angel.
You know, they did make a point last week by saying nobody's ever kicked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've made that point a couple times on TV. So maybe it's time to do that. I don't know. We'll see. These two are going to have a fantastic match. AEW Women's World Championship, Britt Baker and Tay Conti. We got Britt Baker's boots here. I don't know if you guys saw this. My buddy Bob won them in an auction and he gifted them to me. $750 he paid for these.
I know. It's
but it went to a good charity. It went to a great cause.
It looks great in the setup, too.
It looks fantastic in the setup. You guys could see it here. If you're watching a video on Twitch or on YouTube, you could see it right there. You also have AEW World Tag Team Championship on the line. Lucha Brothers versus FTR. This is going to be a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
World Title Eliminator Tournament Finals. A lot of words in that sentence. Bryan Danielson and Miro. You know, I think this is set up for Danielson. Then you go into the conversation of, is it going to be a Danielson and Hangman Page match? Is that the match that we need to see? I don't think so. I don't want to see that yet. Because that means that someone's either turning or someone's losing when they shouldn't lose. So if it is possible, I think for both people, right? Because Hangman shouldn't lose this. But also, I don't think the match should be Danielson and Hangman. It should be Kenny and Danielson at this point. What do you think, Rick?
You know, it's very interesting because when you throw this sort of like figurative booking monkey wrench into an ideal plan, you're right. I don't want to see Danielson versus Hangman. I also don't want to see Miro versus Hangman.
I don't want to see that either.
But
I have no problem seeing it on Dynamite. But
for some reason, I'll take Kenny retaining versus Danielson or Miro over Hangman versus any of these. I don't know why. It's just like a weird gut instinct. What about you, Gary?
If he doesn't win this match, that is some long-term storytelling because all his entire story is like, you know, this redemption thing, right? So that they would be pushing that out, and they would, I don't know, that'd be very interesting. I wonder if he would lose too much by not winning here, but you know, I'm open to stuff. They tell stories in a pretty intricate way, and they like to lay things out, and things mean thing, you know, small steps mean bigger things. So
yeah,
if that is their decision, then I would be very interested to see what happens. But I just feel like if he doesn't win, like, man, like I don't know that it would kill him, but
I mean, it won't be good for him if he loses. I'll tell you that, but we'll find out. Minneapolis Street Fight, the Inner Circle versus the Men of the Year, along with Junior Dos Santos, Arlovski.
Andre Arlovski.
I always have a difficult, and Dan Lambert, which I think is hysterical. I thought Paige Van Zandt was going to do it.
She's throwing a shot at Jericho somehow in this match for sure.
Yeah. By the way, did you watch UFC last night?
I mean, I wish I could have gone UFC.
If I had pushed, I could have had tickets for UFC last night.
Supposedly an amazing show.
The Garden was bumping. The establishment that I work at, the nightclub that I'm affiliated with in some capacity, they were slammed. All of Manhattan was slammed. I thought it was good for business for New York, but very cool show. I think Inner Circle should take this fight. The Minneapolis
Lambert's in there to lose, right?
He's in there to lose and get buried. Yeah. False Count Anywhere match: Jurassic Express and Christian versus the Super Click. Young Bucks and Adam Cole. All right, cool match. I'm into this. Darby Allin versus MJF. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. New Japan. Oh, that's in my notes, but not what I needed. New Japan is running a show after Okada versus Buddy Matthews.
That I will be there live.
You're going? Fantastic.
It's in San Jose.
Oh,
cool. I'll tell you quickly the layout. We're gonna go to Dave's at 5 to watch the pay per view until about 7:30. Shoot out 15 minutes to the old Civic Auditorium, depending on how long that New Japan show is. And after that's over, shoot back to Dave's and watch the last two matches of the pay-per-view. So I don't know how I'm not going to get spoiled, but
I think
a long night.
I think Observer needs to have like a voyeur cam. Like you pay. I would pay like $50 for this just to watch Dave watching a show. Like I want to know what that experience is like when he's watching a pay-per-view and taking his notes, because it has to be intense for you.
I just find it interesting at the stuff that he pops at, like the things that he gets really excited at.
Love it.
But, you know, a lot of times we're talking like with just a bunch of people there. And then, you know, when something is important, we'll sort of pull it down so that he could focus 110% on it.
So now the big question with this pay-per-view is, do we get a surprise with all the recent releases? I mean, we're not going to get anything from this set of releases, but in the previous releases, does something happen? Does Wyndham show up? Do other people show up? I think it's a very wrestling right now. I don't think we've ever had this many top level free agents available ever, because we've never had a company cleanse or release or wash away such top level talent. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
and there's going to be a couple more, right? In NXT with isn't Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly, like, aren't their contracts coming up soon?
And that's a very interesting conversation to have. You know, are they better off where they are, or are they willing to leave? You know, I know that they're going to be doing some tryout matches on the main roster for those guys.
I think
tryout matches, but dark matches.
They had one, didn't they? Didn't Gargano and Riley wrestle?
Yeah, I think on SmackDown they were up there,
maybe
right?
That's when it was.
Yeah. So I whatever makes everybody happy. Mm-hmm. We also need to keep things a little. Everybody can't go to AEW, and it won't work. And we're going to hit that point where these guys will start jumping over, and sometimes they're not going to catch on fire. And it's going to be right now, AEW is in a position of not needing to do a lot of stories. They're getting to the point that they need to be story driven, but it's more like an exhibition. They're on an exhibition tour of, hey, check out the talent. Look what we could do. And it's happy go lucky. And you're seeing great matches. But eventually when you start, you're going to have to recycle some of those matches again. And then you're going to have to go into story, which I think is really cool. We're seeing a very unique moment in pro wrestling, but WWE does need talent. So right now with these cuts, maybe we'll see someone go back there. You know, you have some really big names that are available. Braun Strowman, you know, he's a guy that doesn't really fit in a lot of places.
And was supposedly close with Impact, right? And it just didn't happen.
Was close with Impact. And that's another story. You know, Impact and obviously Ring of Honor's gone. So that's a bizarre. That's a bizarre situation.
If Impact could just, they're doing okay, right? They're the company that never dies. If they could just figure out a couple things, it would be a great opportunity to pull from some of these cuts.
They're gonna survive everything. The end of the world will happen, and the only thing that survives, there's gonna be a monolith erected for Impact Wrestling. They were the only thing to survive. You know. Everything happening,
right?
It's wild to me. And you know what? It's not bad. It's a very different Impact. I think the thing that's affected them is the name. If they called it something else, it would have been great. But something that we're not talking about is MLW. And MLW right now is in a position where Ring of Honor, their closest competitor, is going on hiatus. And that's never a good thing, because generally when people go on hiatus like that for an extended period of time and you no longer have a roster, it's kind of time that, you know, you're closing up shop. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but it's going to be a very difficult thing for Ring of Honor to come back from, which I'm hoping they do. But for MLW, this might be the moment.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I hate saying this word, invasion. Would you pop for an ROH invasion for AEW? A one-time thing.
You know how I feel about invasions. I absolutely love them.
That's why I asked.
Thank you for rehashing this. My brain is kind of melting down right now. I'm back in the summer of 2001 in my head right now. You know what? What a great opportunity to do something, right?
Absolutely.
What a fantastic opportunity to do something with them. But I think the big story is going to be MLW, what they do with their TV, what Impact does with their TV coming up. I know they're on Access. I know that they're owned on Access.
MLW just lost Filthy Tom.
And they lost Filthy Tom. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live. Andrew Zarian. A lot to go into, but we're almost out of time here. I want to take a couple of minutes and give a little shout out to you guys. Deeply appreciate you guys coming here. First show, my first Sunday, and I have a lot of stuff planned for you guys on Sundays here. But we're wrapping it up. We're doing only an hour today. We're going to do 2 hours starting next week, which they're going to have a ton of stuff with the pay-per-view and everything else going on. Garrett, where can people find you?
Just go to Fight Game Media on Twitter, at Fight Game Media. You'll see all of our stuff. We got a Patreon. We got a website. All the stuff is there. Good times in pro wrestling right now.
Very good times. Rich.
Yes.
You're my co-host on Mat Men. We do it every week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can find us on at Mat Men Podcast on Twitter. You can check out all our stuff at Andrew Zarian. I got to say a big congratulations to you. I think you did a bang-up job
today.
Thank you. I think a lot of people are saying the same thing. As for me, you could find me on Twitter at BTC Rich, and I got a comic book show also on YouTube. You can check that out at Behind the Counter 2.0.
Listen, I don't have to tell you guys where you can find me. On WrestlingObserver.com, I do a show every Tuesday with Garrett Gonzalez and Denise Salcedo called We're Live Pal. And, of course, Mat Men Podcast. We do that each and every week, Thursdays. Live on Observer. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Very much enjoying this. Starting next week, we're going 2 hours. A lot of stuff to cover. We're going to be taking your phone calls. Also, special guest call-ins. Maybe we'll get Dave to call in. We'll see. We'll see if I could get the Dave, the Observer, to call in. Guys, this was a blast. We'll see you all next time on Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.